We've been asking questions all summer and getting answers, many answers through the summer and through God's word. We asked, how do I make good choices? How do I stop worrying? How much money's enough? How do I balance my work? How do I build good relationships? How do I know God's will? What happens when I die? And what is the point of life? It's been a great, great journey over the summer that's proven that God's word is filled with answers to our questions in the life that we live. It's okay to ask questions, and in fact, God wants us to ask, and he loves it when we search out his word to find answers. Listen, it seems to me that any person who claims that the Bible is just some old book of laws and isn't relevant for today must be living under a rock or something. Or they've never really read the Bible, really read what it contains, because friends, it's the most relevant book on the planet that speaks to pretty much every area of our lives. Today we're wrapping up this question series by asking one final question, and let me introduce this question by first asking you a question. As a pastor, what question do you think it is that I get the most, kind of question I hear the most when it comes to dealing with life and God? What do you think I most often hear? The most common questions I hear when it comes to life and God have something to do with if there's a God, and he's such a wonderful and good God, if God's a loving God, why do so many things happen that don't seem fair? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there injustice? In essence, they all boil down to the question that we're going to try to answer today. We are going to answer today. Why isn't life fair? You can really relate this question today, be related to that through COVID-19, can't you? I mean, why do some people get sick and others don't? And of those who get sick, why is it that some get really sick and others have no symptoms or maybe just have symptoms like a common cold? And of those who get sick, why is it that some have died while others don't even have a bad night's sleep? Now, we could go into all kinds of arguments and all kinds of theories over those questions, but we are definitely not going to go there today. We're not going to touch that, but it does still beg us again to ask the question today, our question, why isn't life fair? You can't blame people for asking. It's a solid question. I've asked questions like it myself at times. It's also a question that Solomon asks in Ecclesiastes. Let's see how he asks the fairness question in Ecclesiastes 4:1. And I'm going to use the Good News translation. I really like how it communicates this verse. But here's what it says. Then I looked again at all the injustice that goes on in this world. The oppressed were crying, and no one would help them. No one would help them because their oppressors had power on their side. This question of injustice, it can be asked in many, many ways. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad people seem to prosper? Why do the rich seem to keep getting richer while the poor just keep getting poorer? Where's God when I hurt? Where's God during all the injustices that are there in life? If God's really God and he can do something and he's loving, where is he and why isn't he doing it? Why doesn't God help us, right? We've heard those kinds of questions. Fact is, as many of us have asked some of those kinds of questions from time to time. Friends, with questions like these, especially questions that put our God into question, I want the most reliable source on God that we have. I don't want some sort of secondhand philosophical, psychological dribble. I want to see what the Bible says about God and about these things. It's his book. So let's see how he defends himself with it and how he answers this question. Let's begin by looking at the reality of injustice, the reasons for injustice, and then we'll look at the response that we should have and what we should do about it. So let's start with the reality. Reality is, friends, reality is, like it or not, life isn't fair. Life isn't fair. And the sooner we accept that fact, the sooner we can learn how to deal with it. The Bible says it. In Ecclesiastes, it gives us four different examples of how life isn't fair. First, life isn't fair because criminals go unpunished. Criminals go unpunished, Ecclesiastes 8, 11 through 14. Why do people commit crime so readily? Because crime is not punished quickly enough. A sinner may commit 100 crimes and still live. Oh, yes, I know what they say. If you obey God, everything will be all right, but it will not go well for the wicked. Their life is like a shadow, and they will die young because they do not obey God. He's using sarcasm here, and then he goes on, but this is nonsense. Look at what happens in the world. Sometimes righteous men get the punishment and wicked men get the reward of their righteousness. I say it is useless. Friends, thousands of years ago, Solomon is venting some of the same frustrations with crime and punishment that many people vent today. The court system doesn't work fast enough. People get off with just a slap on the wrist for things that they should be put away for, while others are made an example of for a minor infraction. The rich can pay their way out, while the poor, they're just at the mercy of the court. Life isn't fair. Second, life isn't fair because the oppressed aren't helped. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes 4:1 for this one. Then I looked again at all the injustice that goes on in this world. The oppressed were crying and no one would help them. No one would help them because their oppressors had power on their side. The oppressors had power on their side. Wow. You know, being an election year, if Solomon were a politician right now saying these kind of words, I think people would be taking notice, don't you? I mean, that's a bumper sticker for you, right? Solomon 2020. That would be the way to go, maybe. Friends, history shows the record. It proves that humans tend to persecute each other. In every group, in every organization, in every business, in every country, and even in every school for students that are here today, it always seems to happen, doesn't it? It might not start off that way, but eventually someone or more than one seem to get persecuted. Due to sin, it's in human nature to oppress each other. Now, hear me correctly here. It's our human nature, the nature that we're born with. Once we embrace Jesus and the forgiveness of our sins, the forgiveness of this human nature, there's a new nature that takes residence in us. And it begins to transform that old human nature into a new Christ-like nature. But most of the world is still dominated by this human nature. Throughout history, the rich have oppressed the poor. The powerful have oppressed the powerless. Race has oppressed race. White have oppressed black. Men have oppressed women. And it's not changed today. All around the world, you see racism, sexism, oppression taking place. It hasn't changed. It's part of the reason why some people have called foul and have gone to protests. But even in that, other innocent people are being oppressed. And I hate to tell you this, but things won't change no matter who's in the White House. Oppression will continue until the day Jesus returns. Politicians can't stop oppression. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus can. People oppress each other. It doesn't seem fair. Solomon says, "Who will speak up for them?" It's true of Christians as well. This year, thousands of Christians will die for their faith in this world. Most of them will be in China or in communist countries or in the Middle Eastern Muslim nations. Oppression isn't prejudiced. It comes to all. Life isn't fair. Third, life isn't fair because politicians are. I should let you fill in the blank for that, shouldn't I? I'm not going to do that. Politicians are unethical. You didn't know that, did you? That's the new news for you, right? Friends, wherever you find people of authority over others, you'll find some injustice. Does anybody really expect public servants to actually serve us? Is that what you expected? Ecclesiastes 5:8 puts it best. It says, "Don't be surprised if you see a poor person being oppressed by the powerful and if justice is being miscarried through the land." For every official is under orders from higher up, and matters of justice get lost in red tape and bureaucracy. Then he says in Ecclesiastes 5:10-6, he says, "There is another evil I have seen under the sun. Kings and rulers make a grave mistake when they give great authority to foolish people and low positions to people of proven worth." In other words, there are intelligent people in this world who go unknown while far less qualified people rule us. Life's not fair. It's not fair. Fourth, life isn't fair because good people go unrewarded. Good people go unrewarded. Solomon's complaint is that the wrong people are prospering. He says in Ecclesiastes 8:14, and this is not all that is meaningless in our world. In this life, good people are often treated as though they were wicked. And wicked people are often treated as though they were good. This is meaningless. Was Solomon like living in today? That can be one of the most difficult things for parents trying to train their children. We tell them, don't lie, always be honest, choose what's right, do good. Yet when they look at the world around, it looks like the good guys are always finishing last. They see other kids getting away with cheating and getting good grades while they're working their tush off. They see kids lying and still seeming to be the most popular and being nasty to others and still getting the most handsome guy or the prettiest girl. We see the same thing as adults. It appears that the dishonest and the unscrupulous get ahead in business, and the wicked seem to have more fun. Solomon says that doesn't seem fair. He says in Ecclesiastes 7:15, I have seen everything in this meaningless life, including the death of good young people and long life of wicked people. Friends, let's just call it what it is. Life's not fair. Fifth, life isn't fair because capable people aren't always successful. The fact is that good guys don't always win. They don't always win. Solomon in Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, I realized another thing, that in this world, fast runners do not always win the races, and brave do not always win the battles. Wise men do not always earn a living. Intelligent men do not always get rich, and capable men do not always rise to high positions. Bad luck happens to everyone. Bad luck happens to everyone. Now, some of you might hear this and you're thinking, true, man, finally somebody said it. I'm not just a magnet for bad things. I'm not jinxed or something. Bad luck happens to everyone. When I was in high school and college, my friends and I used to love to go down to the park in the summer and play basketball. We'd play all summer long whenever we could. As long as there was enough light, or if there was lights on the court, we'd be out playing. It could be 100 degrees. We'd be out playing, sweating it out, sweat running in your eyes. It was awesome. You know, I'm convinced that we'd go down and play at the park, and I'm convinced that some of the best basketball players in our town were on that court at times. Truly, I believe they were. It was all of the has-beens, the would-have-beens, the could-have-beens, and the up-and-the-comings all coming down together in the summer to play. But do you know what? Their success never went further than the blacktop of that park or a high school gymnasium. Many didn't play in school at all. Others may have played at the top of their team in high school, but they never succeeded any in college or beyond college to any other point beyond that. And do you know what? I don't think that there was ever a single person in my hometown of 25,000 people who ever got into the NBA. We had one coach that we got who had a year or two who played for the Cincinnati Royals, a pro team from Cincinnati back in 50 years ago or so, but I don't think he was from our hometown. Now, have there been some from my hometown who we played with who maybe were capable enough? Were there some players that I saw go through the ranks on the high school team who maybe could have been good enough? You know, maybe. There may have been. Is it fair that some get the breaks and some don't? No. But you know what? Bad luck happens to everyone, doesn't it? It happens to everyone. Solomon's just giving us examples. He's saying, let's admit it. Life's not fair. It isn't fair. Some get the breaks in life and some don't, and there's no good reason why. So why doesn't God do something about it? Is God uncaring? Is he indifferent? Is he helpless? No, he's none of those things. He's not. The Bible gives us four reasons why God allows injustice to happen in the world. Four reasons. The first is this: God gives us the freedom to choose. We have free will, the freedom of choice. God says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, look, today I am giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. The Bible tells us that we were created in God's image. Because of that, we were created with choice. Deuteronomy 11, 27 through 28 goes on to say, you will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, but you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship gods you have not known before. We have a choice. And ultimately, even if we don't see it right now, God's going to bless us if we choose to obey him and go his way, and we'll be cursed if we reject him. Look, God could have made us like a bunch of Muppets. You remember the Muppets? Why are there so many songs about rainbows? I know it's terrible. But you know who I'm talking about, right? God could have made us like a bunch of Muppets where he's behind the scenes making us do all of our motions and making all the little voices for us. I'm sure Mike could probably do a great Kermit the Frog with a banjo if we gave him time. But listen, you do know that frog's not real, don't you? You do know there's somebody making him move and somebody doing his voice. Some of you didn't know that, and I just crushed your dreams. I'm sorry. But he's not real. God could have just made us all to have to accept him and always have to choose what he wants and always have to choose to do what's right. But he didn't do that. God gives us choice to accept him or to reject him, to obey him or to deny him, to do good or to do bad. Why? God gives us free choice because he wants us to do good, because we choose to do good. Because he wants us to love him, because we choose to love him, not because he makes us. Don't you want the same thing from your children and the loved ones in your life? You don't want to have to put your hand in their back and say, I love you, Dad. I love you, Mark. You're so cool. I'll do whatever you want. I mean, that'd be kind of nice sometimes. But that's not what we want. God didn't want that. God didn't want to make us a bunch of Kermit the Frogs. However, the flip side of having free choice is that with choices come consequences. With choices come consequences. You can't say you have the choice to do good without having the choice to do bad. The good news is that you have freedom to choose, free will. The bad news is you have freedom to choose, free will, and with your choice comes consequences, either positive or negative, depending on the decisions you make. And the truth is many of us make bad decisions sometimes. I know that I do. Now, we can be forgiven, but that doesn't wipe away all the earthly consequences that we have because of those choices. If I live a promiscuous lifestyle, I may end up getting venereal disease. If I murder someone, you know what? I'm going to go to prison. If I eat too much and I'm a glutton, I could quite likely someday have a heart attack or have diabetes. We can argue about whether it's fair or not fair, but it's a fact that our choices come with consequences. And so, the even harder thing is that our choices don't just have consequences for us. Our bad choices affect others in our lives, and others' bad choices affect our lives. If a baby's born with AIDS because the baby's parents contracted AIDS from a bad choice of lifestyle of his or her parents, it's not a bit fair for that baby, right? Not a bit. It's horrible. But one person's choice, one person's sin, also affects another person. You may say that's not right. And you know what? You're correct. It's very, a very wrong thing. But you can't have free will, free choice, without consequences. And you can't live among others with free will and free choice without them having consequences that might impact you and yours impact them. You may ask the question, but what about the unfair things that just seem to happen? They're not connected to anybody else. What about when my dad got cancer? Are you trying to tell me that it's due to the choices that he made in his life? Well, you know, with cancer, sometimes it could be if it's lung cancer and they've been a smoker, but you know, many times no. Many times no. However, you know what? Sickness and disease are still due to sin in the world. You see, in the beginning, our world was created perfect, but because sin has been introduced into the world, man and woman, by man and woman's free choice, the world and all that's in it is now decaying. It's really easy to see that right now, isn't it? I mean, maybe even last year, we might say, oh, the world's getting better and better. Does it feel that way right now? You can see the world is getting worse and worse, that the world is decaying. It's kind of like having a healthy body, and then somehow cancer enters that body. It begins to affect the cells, and if it's not treated, and even sometimes if it is treated, those cancer cells continue to grow in the body until it kills you. The world was perfect in its created state, absolutely perfect, until sin was introduced like a cancer. And when with the sin came decay of the planet and sicknesses and diseases of those that are living on the planet. And the world won't be rid of that cancer of sin until Jesus returns to make it all new someday, which he is going to do someday. Did you know that when the world was created, there weren't even thorns or thistles on this planet? There were roses without thorns. There were no thorns or thistles. There was no decay, no sickness. It was introduced, all those things were introduced into the world through sin and people's genetics and sin. So this supposed unfairness isn't due maybe to your own personal sin and choices, but it's still due to the fact that sin is now loose in the world. Now, God could take all of this injustice away in a snap. He could. How? By taking away your freedom to choose and taking away my freedom to choose. By taking away the ability for us to choose injustice. By taking away our freedom to make bad choices. He can make us a bunch of Kermit the Frogs, where he's got control of all of our action and all of our words. But God's not going to do that because he doesn't want a world of Muppets. Who have to do what he says. He wants us to choose to love him and to obey him, not to have to love him and obey him. So the good news is you have freedom. The bad news is there's negative consequences as a result of the negative choices that we make. One of those is injustice. Here's the second reason why God allows injustice, because one day God will settle the accounts of injustice. One day God will. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 17, he says, I said to myself, in due season, God will judge everyone, both good and bad, for all their deeds. Do you know what that verse is saying? It's saying, have you had some injustice happen to you? Have you seen injustice in this world that seems to be going unaccounted for? Relax. It'll have its time. There's a time for every activity and every deed under the sun. The final chapter's not yet been written. One day, God will settle accounts of injustice. Just because people aren't getting what they deserve now doesn't mean they're never going to get what they deserve. Ultimately, there's going to be a day where each of us will have to give an account for everything that we've done on this earth. Isaiah 30:18 says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait on him. Wait for him. Friends, we've got to wait for God. He will right the injustices that have been done to others. He's a God of justice. However, hear this whole verse. He longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. The way that God rights an injustice may not be the way that you want or the way that you expect. We've given God injustice by sinning against him. God's chosen to right that by having his own son pay our price and forgiving us. He longs to be gracious. So our response to someone's injustice to us should never be, oh, you just wait, because my God's going to get you someday. You're going to pay for this. Our response should be, oh, dear Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And be gracious to those who do injustice to me, just as you've been gracious in my injustice to you. That they may know you, Jesus, the way that I know you and receive the forgiveness that I've received. Friends, one day justice will roll, but I am so thankful that our God is truly just while also being truly gracious and very compassionate in how he settles his accounts, or I, for one, would be at a real loss. The third reason God allows injustice is because God wants to know, show us we need a Savior. We need a Savior. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. Not a single person. This means that we're all in trouble. I mean, let's face it. We've all been unkind. We've all been cruel. We've all been unfair some of the time. We're all in the same boat. The reason the world's unjust is because it's full of a lot of unjust people. Like me. And like you. We want to believe that we're good. That we're unselfish. That we always think of other people first. But let's be realistic here. Nobody bats 1,000 all the time. Nobody always bowls a strike when they roll the ball down the lane. Nobody always gets a hole in one. Nobody hits the music note just right on key every single time. Are you sure you want justice? If God gave us what we deserve right now, where would we be? Jesus didn't get justice. He didn't deserve to die on the cross. He was perfect. He was sinless. He was God. But the Bible says that he came and died, took the penalty for you and for me. It was the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. He took the rap. He took my penalty, my price. He did my jail sentence, and he's done yours too. Is that fair? No. Not at all, not in any way, but it's just because he paid the price that needed to be paid. Somebody had to pay it, and he stepped in and paid the price that you and I deserve. The fourth reason that God allows injustice is because pain can develop character. Develop character. Romans 5:3-4 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Now think about that for a minute. You always learn more from pain than you do pleasure. You really do. You always learn more from failure than you do success. It's in the tough times that your character's built, not in the easy times. And God's in the character building business. God's interested in molding and making and shaping you. Now, you may say, do you mean to say that God's caused injustices in my life just because he wants to build my character? Well, if that's the case, I'd rather go without the injustices and stay the character that I am. No, I didn't say God caused the injustices. I'm saying that if you let him, he'll use the injustices to build your character because he's in the business of building character. And this verse tells us that once this character is developed, it brings hope. When you walk in the character of Jesus, you can stare any injustice in the face, and you can still have hope because you know that God's building your character to face yet another day. So what's the key to this question of dealing with life when it doesn't seem fair? When you feel you've been dealt a bad hand and you don't deserve what you're facing right now, the Bible says four things quickly. When you're experiencing what you don't think you deserve, the first is this: accept that life is unfair. You just got to accept it, friends. It's not always fair. It's a fact of life. Don't try to ignore it. It's a fact. Jesus said in John 16:33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Notice here that Jesus didn't say you might have trouble. He said you will have trials and sorrows. It's a given. Accept it. But also take heart. Because Jesus says that he's overcome the world and you can have peace with him even in the injustice. He's overcome injustice. He's overcome prejudice. He's overcome racism. He's overcome your turmoil and mine. Accept that life will be unfair at times, but that the fairest Lord Jesus has overcome. Second, do the right thing anyway. Even if things don't seem right, you choose to do the right thing. Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Friends, even when the world's unfair, you maintain your own integrity. You do the right thing anyway. You do what you can to gain justice for others. Fight for others' rights, for the oppressed, and seek to correct the wrongs and the injustices in life. Do what you can while you can. Third, wait for God's reward. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." God's faithful, and he's going to reward you for doing the right thing, even when no one else is. One day, God's going to wipe away every tear. He's going to settle all accounts and right all the injustices. You do the right thing, and you'll be rewarded. You'll be rewarded. Some of you may be going through a time right now, and you're thinking, it's just not fair. I don't deserve this. Everybody has their story of injustice. Everybody does. We're not going to get into detailed explanation as to why, but know that when you do the right thing in the midst of your injustice, you will one day be rewarded. And finally, know that God is close to you. God isn't calloused or uncaring in your difficulties. He hasn't turned his back on you. God hasn't left. God's not hands off in your situation, even if you feel like he is. Where is God in this injustice? Where was God in 9/11? Just a couple days ago, 19 years since 9/11 happened. We're remembering those things. Where's God through COVID-19? Where's God in the midst of riots and chaos in our country? Where's God in the upcoming election? The Bible tells us exactly where God was and where God is. It says in Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." God is close to you. That's where he is. God was right with each person and each building when the planes hit in New York City. He was right with those people who were choosing to jump off buildings instead of suffering the heat of the flames of the fires. He was right there with the firefighters who were rushing up the stairs. He was right there with those in the courageous passengers of Flight 93 as it flew into the ground, and Flight 77 when it was flown into the Pentagon, as well as the two flights that flew into the towers. God's right there with every COVID patient and every family member. He's right there with those rioting who may not even know it and may care less about him. He's still right there. He's right there with those who may be hurt or persecuted. He's right there in the chaos of this nation and any eventual election and any outcome of any election that's to come. Where was God? Where is God? He was, he is very close. He's right there. He may not stop the free choice of evildoers, and that might be hard for some of us to deal with, but I guarantee to you that God is close the whole time, and he's offering heavenly rescue to all who hear and receive him. God's near to you as well. If you're feeling brokenhearted, maybe you're feeling crushed in spirit, know that God's here. He's not taking his hand off of you, nor will he. And he'll save you from your situation. Life's not fair. Okay, that goes for everyone. But God is fair. And he will one day bring everything and everyone into their fair and perfect conclusion. And he's close to you now, and he'll be even closer to you, it will seem anyway, when you're one day with him. Let's pray together. God, many times we might ask the question, but we might not be incredibly fond of all the answers. We're not incredibly fond of the fact that life isn't fair and things are going to happen that we don't like. We're not so happy to hear that. But it all is a matter of perspective. Not what we are, not where we are, not how we are, but whose we are. We belong to Jesus as believers in him. We belong to you, God, as believers in your Son. We know that you've paid the price for us, and although life's not necessarily just going to be easy because of that, we can have a peace within us through all of life. And there is going to be a better day where everything is restored. We're just not there yet. But we can relive with a restored heart and a restored focus and a restored hope and peace that lies in us through Jesus through every troubling time. God, help us just to keep walking, to keep our step moving. We see the dust and the mire around us. We see things collapsing all around us in the world. Just help us to take one step in front of the other, holding our heads high in the peace of Jesus. Lead us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.